¿Estás pensando en tus vacaciones soñadas este verano temiendo el costo? Con iBora recibes reembolsos en todas tus compras. Así puedes tomar más tiempo creando recuerdos este verano y menos tiempo soñando hacerlos. Ahora mismo, iBora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por probar iBora usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve a App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de iBora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es IBOTTA en Google Play o App Store y usa el código La Música.
The Off the Ball Podcast Network. OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, Allianz Ireland, along with the GAA today, have announced a renewal of Allianz support of communities across Ireland through a 5-year extension of its sponsorship of the Allianz Football and Hurling Leagues. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in the studio today by two Meath men, Donal Keoghan, Graeme Geraghty. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
How are you, boys?
No bother.
Good, yeah.
It's been a while since you've been in a room together, or are you catching up at Mead functions all the time, or what's the story?
No, we're not catching up at Mead functions anyway. But yeah, I suppose the last time we were in a dressing was 2005 together, so yeah.
Was that your last year playing football and your first year playing football?
Yeah, Graeme was tottering around the place there and giving me words of wisdom.
what was that year like, Graeme, 2012?
It was unusual for me because I was selected with Banty as well, so I'm actually responsible for bringing him in. So there you are, like that's the only good thing I've done.
Well, I believe you. Like, what happened in 2012, Donald? Because like for a lot of people, I suppose the decade from 2010 after that Leinster final win up until last year when you got promoted to Division One, it could be seen as a bit of a lost decade in ways. But like, You've come through in 2012. Mm. You've been nominated for All-Stars. You're Meath captain at 23. For you, I'm sure it was a very fulfilling decade in a lot of ways. But, you know, you came from nowhere in 2012.
Yeah, I suppose at the start of the year, I was still under 21 that year and had been training with the seniors and actually broke my foot that January. I think it was the 3rd of January. We were playing a challenge match against Armagh. I just felt my foot wasn't right and it actually turned out to be a stress fracture. So I actually ended up missing the under-21s that year, as it was, under-21s. So then I missed actually a lot of the league then with the Meath setup as well. So I suppose the January, February, March of that year, no one would have even heard of me outside of Meath maybe. And then obviously championship or the league came and went and got down to the nitty-gritty of championship. And, you know, I'd been training and doing all right, training, marking like of Keane Ward and stuff like that and Joe Sheridan and stuff like that. So in trains it was a bit of a baptism of fire when you're marking them sort of lads. But then I remember distinctly going down to the Carlow game, was it? First game. And I wasn't named to start, I was in the panel, I was happy to be in the panel even at that stage. And I remember doing the warm-up, we warmed up away from the pitch, remember that?
Yeah, it was
warmed up
pitch,
maybe 10 minutes away.
Right-hand side and away in,
And we were doing the warm-up and then Graeme pulled me aside and he's like, just let you know, like your first blood sub on, as we call it then. So,
yeah.
So I was even delighted to hear that. Little did I know, after 8 or 9 minutes, that Seamus was going to, unfortunately, be struck with the injury and then I was going to be called into action. So it was kind of a funny one that I didn't have much time to think about it in terms of, like, you know, it wasn't eating away at me in the back of my head. So it was kind of a nice way to go in terms of, like, you know, I could just prepare for a game, but not knowing that I was looking for 10 minutes. If I got 10 minutes at the end of the game, I'd be absolutely delighted. Like, but to actually be called in after 10 minutes was
less pressure than
a shock. Yeah.
What did you see, Graeme? Like, what was that? I suppose that year for you was probably you'd come back, and I think you were struggling with injury that year as well yourself, and it ended up being your last year playing intercounty football. What was it like balancing the role of selector and player that year? What did you see in Donal?
It was tough for me trying to balance. I would kind of hopes of playing, but you know, it's they weren't long evaporating. But like, Donald, and he's proved it over the last number of years, he's one of the best footballers in the country. I'm not just saying that because he's a Meath man, but you know, fantastic. But at that time, he'd powered pace and one of the best man markers that we had in Meath, and like, he's proven to be that, you know, man marker in the country now at this stage. But obviously Meath have developed him in a different way now, and but for us that's what it was, and that's what we hadn't got at the time. And he's just, for a young man, he was a born leader, and you know, you could see that at that age.
That was a different Meath back then, 2012. There was still, off the back of the Leinster title, and I suppose All-Ireland semi-finals in 09 and 07, there was plenty of lads on that team. The likes of Kevin Riley were around, Graeme was in the dressing room. It's a very different Meath than we see nowadays in 2020 that you're leading alongside the likes of Brian Menton and I suppose Kenny O'Sullivan. It's a very different Meath.
Yeah, it's different, but like, the amount of information I took on in those first, say, even couple of years was invaluable to me, to be honest. Like, as you said, Kevin Reilly, Joe Sheridan, Keane Ward, you know, Brian Farrell, they were Owen Harrington. They had so much information that I was able to absorb off those lads that I could bring then, you know, as they transitioned from year to year and as those lads kind of dropped away and new lads came in. That was the information I could bring to those now, say, younger lads that they're hopefully learning from me. So it's kind of cool with any transition when you go from being the younger group of the flock to the older now. You've kind of a duty there to instill the knowledge and, you know, bring lads with you and, you know, inform them as much as possible. Like I did, I was like a sponge when I was around the older, more senior lads. I was trying to take in all the information in the little tips, but now it's, I suppose, my turn now to dish it out.
Graham mentioned there how when you broke through initially, you had the power and the pace, and you were unbelievable at dispossessing forwards as well. Like, we saw a lot. I remember being a Meath fan in Croke Park in those Leinster finals in 2013-14, and you wanted Donald Keoghan on Kevin McMiniman or Bernard Brogan. But as you said, you're different now. You're scoring goals. You're one of Meath's main attacking threats.
One goal.
It's just one goal, but you've won penalties anyway, and definitely assists at the back post as well. But what kind of a footballer do you see yourself as, or is that a stupid question? Like, do you just?
I think you have to be. I think the modern day footballer as such needs to be adaptable. Just given that the positions don't mean anything nowadays, you could be lining out with number two in your back, but you could be a third midfielder sort of thing. You know, that way. So you do need to be adaptable in terms of how you play. And I think that's kind of one thing I've tried to bring in the last few years. I tried to, you know, obviously, as a defender, your role first and foremost is to defend, and that's what you're in the team for. But also then, as a wing back, it gives you a bit more freedom to get up the pitch, get up a bit and support the attacks. And, you know, obviously that comes with you need a different set of skills to do that as well. So I'm trying to kind of master all the skills and to be as well-rounded player as possible. But I suppose underage, I would have played a lot of my football in the half-back line at Rakeney, half-back, centre-back, wing-back. So I suppose that would be more of a natural position for me, is the half-back line, yeah.
Graham, would you have enjoyed playing wing-back in that Meath team at the minute?
I think I would, the way the game has gone now, because it does, as Donal says, it gives you that freedom to get up the pitch. And I suppose when I was playing, I wasn't too fond of coming back, marking that. So it probably would have suited me to have more lads around me. But as Owen said, the game has changed so much. It gives the likes of the cornerbacks, the wing backs, to get up and you know, to get on the end of balls. And it's, you know, while it is exciting in a way to see defenders scoring, it kind of takes away in the skills of the forwards of the game now as well, because they end up defending more so than, you know, attacking than they did a couple of years ago, you know. So it's difficult to keep that momentum coming during the game, because, you know, you're expected to run up and down.
What do you mean by that? Are you talking about the likes of, say, I suppose, Brian McMahon and Keane O'Sullivan? They would have roles, I suppose, as forwards, where they filter back a lot and break forward with you guys as well.
Hard to do that, you know, for the whole game. And that's why I suppose you need a big panel. I suppose when they came in a couple of years, Graham Reilly, for me, it kind of went against the way he played, although he was a great man from midfield breaking up. When he had to break from you know, the half back line or nearly the full back line, you know, he'd only do it once or twice a game, where he was doing it five or six times a game. And it's difficult, I think, as a forward. So, like, we're very hard on some of the Meath forwards at the minute, that, you know, they don't seem to be getting a lot of scores, apart from, you know, last Sunday. It was probably exceptional. But it's our midfielders and our half backs and corner backs that are getting up the field and scoring.
In terms of the last 10 years in Meath football, I suppose, Donal, you've had a number of managers. There was Seamus McEnany, there was Mick O'Dowd, Andy McEntee. Now, there's been a couple of years there, just consistency. Mm. Obviously, there's this game plan that we're seeing with Meath that brought you to Division 1. Like, is that where it is now? Or is it like, do you know what Jim McGuinness, when he broke through in 2011 with Donegal and he had them playing a very defensive setup, is there another element to your game that we haven't seen yet in Meath?
I think by the nature of the game, it's ever changing. I think, you know, even as I said, Jim McGuinness, like, that only lasted for a certain period of time. I think teams are becoming more, you know, they become more aware that that's probably unsustainable. You see the likes of Dublin, they play a good free-flowing game of football, and the success they've had with it. I see Galway have kind of adapted a really free-flowing game of football again, and you see the joys they're getting out of it now with the league. So I think you have to be adaptive as a football team. So I suppose what got us here won't get us there is the mantra that we use. So we're always trying to learn, always trying to build. It's like a house, you're building blocks, you're trying to, do you know what got you out of Division 2? You need more. You need more than that now to keep it in Division 1. And it's about building that, whatever that might mean, whether it's tweaking things defensively, tweaking things attackingly, looking for those fine margins, the one percenters that are going to get you the advantage over your opposition, I think.
You spoke a lot last year about, maybe not a lot, I saw you mention in one interview, Colin Nally coming on board and various coaches, and those percentages that have brought you along. And I suppose one of the most heartening things, I don't know if you'd agree, Graham, was, well, it was nearly as frustrating as it was heartening, how close you came to beating the likes of Donegal and Tyrone in actually qualifier games before the Super 8s last year. What's been the biggest jump in Meath football that you've seen?
Yeah, I suppose we obviously we were beaten by a point in both those games, so it was very, that was disheartening for us. Like, but we knew deep down ourselves that Tyrone, the year they beat us, they got to the All-Ireland semi-final, and you know, that was the platform that we had. Like, if they got there and we were only a point away from them, that shows us that we have confidence in our potential, that we need to just go and express ourselves. And I think it was the confidence that we took out of those games, and then obviously the Super 8s last year as well, we got great confidence out of those that we actually can compete. Obviously, you know, in Super 8 we didn't win the games, but we were thereabouts with 50, 55 minutes to go. So it was about finding, as Colin said, a couple of 1%ers that will bring you to the 70 minute performance, and then ultimately it's about, once you get the performance right there, results should follow themselves. But Colin's been a breath of fresh air, to be fair, in the setup. He's great attitude, he's really positive, he just looks at things in a different way that other people don't, and he just a really good way about training them. Yeah, he's been refreshing.
We've had him in a couple of times, and he does have an interesting way of looking at the game and
very different things. Yeah,
some of his coaching stuff as well, you can see it on Twitter a lot as well. Graham, I'd like to get your perspective on watching Meath football from the stands. You mentioned there that perhaps we're a little harsh on our forwards in Meath. I know we have a number of frontline injuries with the likes of Mickey Newman being out and Pádraig Kearnan and a few other lads. What's it been like watching Meath football for the last couple of years?
I think, I suppose, for, you know, put your supporter cap on for a start, it's frustrating because you know the talent's there. As Donal says, we've been competing but just not getting over the line. And even if you take this year alone, I suppose some of the games I probably would have been targeted to get points. Tyrone would have been in the first game. They were missing a few, you know, key forwards that day. We probably should have got points out of that. We were unlucky, you know, the game against Mayo as well. Very unlucky that day as well. So, you know, if you take those two games, you'd be slap bang there in contention, like, you know. So it's fine margins, and I suppose it's the little things that wins games, and it's just, if it doesn't go right for you, you know, we find ourselves where we are at the bottom of the table, and you know, we've three tough games ahead of us, but I think it's important for, and you know, I suppose Donald, he's around a long time now, is to you know, keep the positives from what we've been doing, and there's a lot of young guys in there that could get very frustrated very easy, like, you know, looking at the table. But that's probably not realistic where we should be, because we probably should have a couple of points at least anyway. So it's, I suppose you're looking at it, it looks bad, but it's not all bad. So we've been very competitive the last couple of years. Last year, I said, if we, you know, got to a national final and got to the Super 8, it would have been a fabulous year, and competing. And that's what we want from a supporter point of view as well.
Can I flip the question then, Donal? What's it like as a player? Like, there's a huge amount of expectation. You're sitting beside a man here with a number of Leinster medals and All-Ireland medals. And what's it like then as a Meath player in the 2010s?
Yeah, I suppose we're looking at these lads, and a lot of our age group and our generation, they will be the idols for us. Like, so obviously we're striving to get back to those levels, and we're longing for, you know, a bit of silverware and success in the county. So it can be frustrating when it's not going to plan. And like, a football career, it seems like a long time, 10 years, whatever plus, but it's gone the blink of an eye. And like, I can remember my, you know, that game there against Carlow as my first game, and almost you click your fingers, you're 9 years later and you're looking down the barrel of 30 at the minute. So
have you ever questioned it, playing intercounty football?
No, I've never questioned it. I love it. It's become installed in me now. I think if without it, I wonder what I'll do with my free time, but I love it. And I just stand to Garrow there, like, saying, like, how much you're training, you're like, it's not frustrating and stuff. It's instilled in me now. It's almost like second nature now. I expect we train the days we're training and stuff like that. So it's, I love it actually, yeah. Surprisingly enough. And I suppose, obviously, given that we haven't been that successful, you'd wonder like that.
Yeah, like you can tell.
Well, your interest wanes, like, but it doesn't really, know.
It's not like you're not busy outside of work. Like, could you explain to us a little bit what you do?
So I work with Bristol Myers Squibb. They're a pharmaceutical company there, and they're based in Mulhuddart, and they're like biopharmaceutical, so they're mainly based around the area of oncology, so they develop drugs for anti-cancer drugs. So I'm just kind of in the labs, mainly based in the labs there in Mulhuddart, based really looking at drugs that are coming online and developing drugs and improving the process we have currently for the drugs to be made. So kind of almost preliminary work. I do a lot of work before it goes to commercial scale, so it's interesting, yeah, but as you said, it's full on, but there's always time for football. I always make time for football anyway.
I know you say that, and it's just that it's been a massive team this year, and we kind of did a piece on offtheball.com in early January where there seemed to be a huge amount of players dropping out of various inter-county panels. I'm not sure whether it was tier 2 football or whether the demands have just gotten to a stage where you're looking at the top 4 or 5, the likes of Galway or Donegal that might threaten. And it's like, they might be able to threaten Dublin, but the rest of us were battling around that middle tier. And Graham, you were on with Nathan a few months ago, and I know yourself, you questioned whether or not you might have the... Would you be able to stick with it in 2020?
Well, I suppose when you're in there, that's where you want to be. But I think it's frustrating. A lot of the team or guys we've seen leave county panels, they're on the fringes of it, they're not getting games, and that can be frustrating. If you're doing all the training, putting in the same effort as everybody else and not getting the game.
There was a lot of high profile players, like Cavan lost Killian Clark and Darren McVitie, the likes of Michael Quinlan from Tipperary's gone trapped. They're all like decisions, like, yeah, I know everyone's got their own personal decisions, but the GAA, just looking from the outside in inter-county football, it's becoming a difficult game to get 10 years out of.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, it's amateur and it's not going to pay the bills. So, as Graham said, a lot of them are fringe players, some of them are bigger players, and it's understandable there that they have your own agenda. You need to maybe go and travel, or you want to see the world. That's, you know, I suppose you need to do it before bigger and bigger things come along your way, like, you know, family or jobs or whatever the case may be. So I suppose in their case, that could be just an opportunistic time to go. Would
they be conversations that you're having in the Meath dressing room? Is there many lads, like, you've got quite a young team there, I know? Ronan Jones is working abroad.
Ronan Jones abroad, yeah. So he's finishing. He was in America for the last 2 years, so I think he's finishing now actually in March. So I think he might be coming home in March, I think.
But he's been traveling.
He's came home for the last 3 games, yeah. So we've just flown him home for the last couple of games, just because in the hope that in March he'll be home for good. So we want to kind of keep him in the loop there and give as much game time to him as possible. But, like, I think, yeah, it's, as you said, it depends really on the player itself. I think a lot of the time, if you're a player that's maybe on the fringe and you're not getting a lot of games, as Graham said, like, obviously it's going to be easier to, say, walk away or something, but it's about keeping the interest. And even, I know with us, you know, four losses at four, you could think that maybe the interest would be weaning, but in the setup we have at the minute, it's really good actually. Like, because I think our performances have been so positive, the mood around the camp is really good. But it's all about, I suppose, a lot of management have to answer there. They have a lot of stuff to answer for, and keeping lads interested and stuff like that. So it's a good mix between, one, the managers keeping players honest and stuff like that, and then, you know, keeping lads interested in themselves, whether they want for it or not.
Graham, when you heard the Mark coming back this year, there was no threat of a comeback?
No, that's the only way I'd get the ball.
When did you last play club football? I remember being on a pitch recently enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last year I played junior C and I ended up breaking my arm in the final against Rathode. So that was...
Did you win?
No, we were beaten in the finish, but so that was the end of it. I was warned after that. So,
but how's life outside of football?
That's good. Yeah, yeah. Get, as Owen says, I get to travel a bit now and see the world that I don't, I'm not involved with coaching or playing anymore. So, a lot of free time. So it's grand. It's grand to have that and go to kids' games and, you know.
There was
give out from the stands.
From the stands. There was an unfortunate headline last year that the house had been robbed at home and that boy.
Yeah.
You lost your medals. Is there any update on...
No update yet. I got some of them back, all right. So they were found down in Arklow on the street in a bag. And those ones I got back, they're damaged as well. So it's... I have to try and see, can I get them restored some way? But there is a process, I think, you can go through of getting them replaced through the county secretaries and them Canton Crowe Park. So it's I'm going through that process at the minute. But I suppose they're not the originals, but you know, it's nice to have something, I suppose, in years to come to look back on. But just you'll have the memories on you, but it'd be nice to have them show grandkids or great grandkids.
Of course. Before we go, lads, I don't want it to come across as if it's been talking about frustration. It's been a word that's been used a lot here, but I feel like it's a word that's used a lot with Meath football all the time, regardless. Like, 2019 was a massively positive year getting to Division 1 football. What's progress this year?
I suppose at the start of the year, progress would have been staying in Division 1. It's still on the cards, very much so. There's 3 games left, 6 points on offer, so it starts with Galway this weekend and Navan, and I think that's our main focus now. So obviously Galway, you know, they're flying after the weekend, they had a good win against Tyrone, so it'll be a tough task, but our focus will mainly be on that game. And if you can pull a result off there, then you know, you're looking at going to the last 2 games, potentially 4 points might do it, 6 I think definitely would do it. So it would really be important to stay in Division 1. If that doesn't happen, I think there's benefits to be got from our experience of that. You know, this time last year, no players on the team had Division 1 experience, so going forward, everyone on the team will have Division 1 experience. I think that would be huge. But then looking into the forward and championships, then we'll have to take it game by game, I suppose, yeah.
Brilliant. Lads, thanks, Ian, for coming in.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.